All right, let's go to our text in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Gavin is our designated reader this morning. In conjunction to this, as time allows, we're going to look at Romans chapter 4, verses 16 and 17.
All right.
As we move on into our discourse and our exposition, the scripture doctrine of regeneration. Mm-hmm. And if you have the document that we passed out to you several weeks ago, the scripture application of repenting and believing, we ask that you turn to that and pull that out also. Amen. So we continue to espouse the essence of what salvation is.
Right.
How our salvation, amen, becomes and is the focal point of our lives.
Right.
Amen. There's nothing that's going on in your life more important than your salvation.
Okay.
Regardless of what you are doing, nothing is more important than your salvation.
Hallelujah.
We go out and we attain many things in life,
mm-hmm.
and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly applaud that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing as important as your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Salvation speaks to that which is eternal. That's your eternal abode in the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Whatever you're doing on earth, amen, it is good for the time that we're here,
all
but
right.
We should always remember that we're just passing through.
Passing.
Amen. And our focus, our primary focus, we're not saying that we don't focus on the things of life. We have jobs, we have families,
mm-hmm.
amen, things that we do, mm-hmm. amen, but our priority, our
yes.
primary focus,
yes.
that which we put at the top, of the heap, amen, above everything else, is that we focus
amen.
On the fact, amen, that we are eternally linked with Christ, in Christ, in the body of Christ,
yes.
amen. We go through a period of time, and then we will make our transition,
mm-hmm.
amen, and all of the things that we did, they're there for the record, they're there for testimony,
mm-hmm.
amen, but the most important thing, bottom line,
mm-hmm.
is our eternal abode in the body of Christ.
Right.
Amen. Regardless of what happens in life,
right.
the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Mistakes of life,
mm-hmm.
the things that we do, the accomplishment of life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just take them all, amen, and lay them out, mm-hmm. and they are both for everybody. Amen. And but bottom line is.
Yes.
God has placed us eternally in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We have an eternal abode there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He has given us the nature of God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
And
glory.
These things should be prevalent in our minds
Lord,
each day,
Lord.
Each day that we live, each day that we walk,
Lord.
You know, each day that we breathe.
Yeah.
This should become the working part of what causes us to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Times of problems
really
and troubles.
Come on,
amen.
Come on,
this is what should give us hope.
Yeah.
Amen. We should not hope in the things that are around us.
Yeah.
Amen. Our hope has to transcend
yeah.
the things that are around us.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there are no earthly aspirations, amen,
mm-hmm.
but they must be tempered
Come on,
by the fact, amen, that beyond all of that,
beyond it.
Amen, God has given us a glorious hope.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Good God.
Again, we go to the third chapter of Titus. Deacon, read again 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
Then we shall move forth in our our exposition this morning, and we talk about salvation, and we're going to continue to talk about salvation.
Right.
And I mean, what else is there to really talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, I mean, yes, we can talk about some things here, but I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about them, amen, but this thing of just focusing completely 100% on the horizontal things that are around us, and then the heavenly things are just oblivious to us.
Yeah.
Amen. That's not what the scripture teaches.
No, it doesn't.
Amen.
It does
he said, seek those things which are
above.
Above.
Right.
Above. Above.
Yes.
What you talking about above? Yes. Amen. What Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Yes.
Amen. In the eternal spirit.
Yes.
What part of that scripture we can't not understand?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to say, amen, to prioritize, and I'm rephrasing it,
right.
Amen, but the scriptures back me up,
uh-huh.
Amen,
mm-hmm.
Not the things on the earth.
Don't
prioritize uh-huh. the things on the earth,
mm-hmm.
but the things that are in heaven. Amen. And that's what we've got to get to know and to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And God,
Lord.
Help us to. And if there's anything I'm praying that God's people would do is that we will begin to look heavenly
yes,
and look
Lord.
Eternally.
Yeah,
amen.
Lord.
And it gets yeah. down into our spirits.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Oh, God, help us. Mm. Amen. To see and understand mm. and know those things that are
Lord,
eternal.
Lord.
All right. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Got it.
All right. What do you can read?
Titus 3, beginning verse 4 from the Greek text.
No, start with the King James.
King James.
Some have the King James, they don't have the Greek. We're going to read from the Greek, but always read from the King James also.
All right. Verse 4.
All right.
Titus 3.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, the kindness
mm-hmm.
and love of God mm-hmm. our Savior toward man appeared.
My Lord. Mm-hmm.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done.
Mm-hmm.
But according to his mercy.
But according to his mercy.
He saved us.
How do you get saved?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what happened? Why are you, amen, in such a favorable position this morning?
Mm-hmm.
What has happened? What's the mechanics behind it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Why are you a child of God?
Mm-hmm.
Why, amen, your future so bright?
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And why has God, amen, favored you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Why has the grace of God come, amen, to save you,
mm-hmm.
and even to inform you?
Yeah.
Verse 4, the kindness and love of God,
yeah.
amen. Why has it been revealed to you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Not only has he saved us,
yeah.
not only has he highly favored us,
yeah.
but he has revealed himself to us
yes,
and given us the knowledge so that we can appreciate him the more.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is such a blessing.
Amen.
Oh, my God. We're not in shackles this morning.
No.
As many who do not know him, shackled though into problems and troubles to the point,
right.
amen, that we live in hopelessness.
Right.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. This is magnificent information. This
yes.
is precious, amen, knowledge
yes.
that has been imparted unto us
yes.
as children of God to
yes.
know these things. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
amen, not by anything we've done, amen. What this is saying is we're not in the formula. We're not in the formula.
All
it's
right.
not that God is not based upon me.
All
amen.
Right.
When I think of all the mistakes that I make in life, and you think of all the mistakes you make in life,
right.
and the things, amen, your shortcomings. So
yeah.
would you want something, amen, as important as salvation based upon some input of yours? I do not. I hope that God's people would come to understand, amen, that we are not part of the formula of salvation, not by works of righteousness which we have done. This salvation is not by anything that you have done. No contribution. Read.
But according to his mercy.
According, oh my God.
He saved us.
Mercy. Mercy. Oh my goodness. Oh, how I love mercy.
Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Mercy. Mercy. Not, we were dealing in Sunday school this morning, that was a litany of things in that verse, talking about men and the things that are in mankind.
Yes.
Amen. And said the law was for the lawless.
Right.
Oh my God. Yes. Amen. I'm glad we're not under the law.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
You.
Because we are lawless.
Yes, sir.
Huh? We're depraved.
Yes.
The law was there to show us just how depraved, how bad off we are. Amen. It shows us up.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. It shows everybody up.
Everybody.
Amen. And it's not there, amen, to give you some gold to meet, because there's no way, amen, you can reach and you can obtain, amen, you can adhere to the standard, amen, that the law requires. Amen. But not by works. Mm-hmm. Not by what part of, not by works do we not understand.
Jesus.
Amen. But according to his mercy.
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 Mm-hmm.
Mercy. Amen. God went into the garden and showed Adam mercy.
Mercy.
Amen. God went to Noah and showed him mercy. God went to Abraham and showed him mercy. God went to Moses and showed him mercy. God went to David and showed him mercy. Amen. All the way down through all of the servants that God has ever had, amen, he had to show them mercy. He went to the Apostle Paul. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Paul said, amen, I'm not even fit to be called an apostle.
Right.
I'm an apostle by God's mercy.
Yes.
Hey, hallelujah. His mercy.
Glory to God.
Everybody said mercy.
Mercy.
Of course, some of us don't love it until we need it.
Oh, my Jesus.
Huh?
No.
When it's time to show it to the other fellow and all kill him, you know. We said, he's doing me in. Amen, huh? But we love it when we need it, huh? We love it, huh? Oh, yes. We're all for it.
Yeah.
Amen. But thank God for his mercy.
Now,
look at this. It was by his mercy that he saved us. Every man has been saved.
Yes.
It is through God's grace and his mercy. Yes. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
How did he do it?
Mm-hmm.
Read it.
By the washing of regeneration.
Washing regeneration.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost.
And renewing Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Double genitives. We won't go over that again today.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
These are the mechanics of salvation.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I thank God, amen, that he has given us the knowledge, amen, of the eternal workings of God in regenerating us. Amen. And renewing us. And giving us the nature of God.
Right.
Amen. Verse 6, when did he do this?
Which he shed on us abundantly.
Which he shed as a clean pour. Amen. Oh, you don't have control upon it. He poured it upon you. Amen. He poured it. When did he pour it? He poured it on eternity.
Yeah.
All right. Now, as we have been dealing. Now, we have to kind of move fast. We're running a little behind time this morning. We have been looking in the document here, excerpt from the scripture doctrine of regeneration, the scripture application of repenting and believing. Again, amen, the big question is, how did you get such favor? How did you receive such favor? Amen. Did you get it or did you receive it?
Come on here.
Amen. Oh, my God. Just the terminology, amen, that exudes salvation, grace, amen, and mercy, and the goodness, the kindness, the love of God, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if there's something that I could accomplish, amen, I just follow the law. Amen. But the law strips me. The law kills me.
Yeah.
The law, amen, annihilates me.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. But the grace of God.
Yeah.
And so it is taught one must repent and one must believe in order to be saved. This week I was talking to someone, amen, and I brought up the question again. I bring it up again. Amen. What about the infant, the mentally incompetent, and the ignorant.
Yes.
Amen. And if it's based upon something that a man has to open his mouth and say or do, amen, what about those who are in those categories? Amen. And of course, now we got to start making up exceptions to the rule.
Absolutely.
Amen. There's only one way that you are saved. That is the grace of God, amen, through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in choosing you and electing you.
Yes.
Amen. The blood of Jesus is applied to those whom God has called, elected, and placed in the body of Christ. He did it all in eternity. The blood of Jesus was available to him at the time to do it in eternity.
Yes.
That's when he did it. Amen. And I know we went around, amen, but a thing does not, and we're going to touch on at least one verse this morning. A thing doesn't come into existence.
Glory.
A thing doesn't come into existence when you know it.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
It doesn't appear when you understand it. And when it's revealed to you. Amen. I can say, August 1967, amen, God saved me. The real, amen, statement should be, I came into a knowledge in August 1967, amen, that the Lord, amen, in eternity saved me.
Yes, Lord.
It didn't start when I knew it.
No.
And it wasn't activated by anything that I did. Now, last week, again, the Greek word metanoia is a change of mind. Repentance simply means a change of mind. And we have gone through several scriptures. We're just going to kind of recap for a minute. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 8, amen, Paul was not referencing, amen, salvation, amen, and but the portions in the scripture in the new covenant in the so-called gospels and in those areas of the Bible that are under the auspices of the new covenant, amen, gives some inference, a spotlight on the individuals responding. Peter on the day of Pentecost, amen, said, what shall we do? Amen. They asked him, he was talking to the Jews under that covenant, responding to the call of Jeremiah 31, amen, which is the new covenant, which is to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And this is who Peter addressed. If you read chapter 2, the house of you men of Israel, you men of Judah, amen, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? Amen. And so they run to that and say, you must repent. And see, that was, amen. And then when they said that, then the question was, then how do one repent?
Right.
Now we got to start making up things like the, amen, the mourner's bench, the carry room, amen. We got to start making up things like the sinner's prayer.
Yeah.
And now we have to put formulas in there, amen, to explicate what we're saying. That word simply means change of mind, change of heart, amen. And you never see Paul using that word. You will not go into our gospel and see that word used in relationship to salvation, amen. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, amen. He is not talking about that, amen. In 2 and 4, again, he was talking to those who had a prior relationship with God. Again, the Jews, and that's who Peter addressed. Romans 11:29, he's speaking of God. Romans, amen, as we said, chapter 7, verses 8 through 10, he's speaking to those in the Grace Church who are already saved. Amen. In 2 Timothy 2:25, amen, he's talking about the one opposing. He's talking about those who were in the church preaching and teaching doctrine, amen, that was not the truth. And Paul never called. He didn't say these brothers need to be repent and be saved. He said they need to repent, amen, and stop teaching that phony doctrine.
Right.
That's what he was talking about.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 6, amen. He's representing the doctrine of repentance in the new contract that he's telling these believing Jews that they're going to have to move away from. Hebrews chapter 12, he's referring to Esau, who was rejected by God, amen, before he was born. I take it further than that. In eternity, he was rejected by God. Amen. So there was no possibility of him, amen, having a change of heart in the mind. Amen. And even in the kingdom gospel, in 2 Peter 3 and 9, is dealing with the, amen, the promise of God, the long suffering of God, amen, and those that will call, amen, oh my God. But if you look and you exegete that, amen, you have, amen, an aorist infinitive there, amen, which speaks to the end. This is something that was predetermined. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, amen, Paul is speaking to those already saved. Oh my God, when he's writing to the Corinthians, when he's speaking to the young man, amen, who had disgraced himself and disgraced those who were part of the assembly, amen. He never called the young man unsaved.
No, he
amen.
Didn't.
Repent, amen, from your actions, from your activities.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, my God. You won't find that word in our gospel as it relates to someone coming to God. So this fact is easily verified. Amen. And when we look into the essence of God's word and we correctly exegete, amen, I would say that when we take all of the evidence together and the enormous weight of the evidence of our eternal call in election in eternity, amen, I would say that any candid man, student, of God's word, amen, would not dare put such a condition for salvation into the formula. Even in the Gospel of John, which is written to present Christ as the object of faith into eternal life, amen, it does not once employ the word repentance.
All right.
And see, John wrote that many years later than he knew better.
Right.
More forcefully, our gospel, Paul's epistle to the Romans, which is a complete analysis of all that enters into the whole plan of salvation by grace, it does not use the word repentance in the connection with the saving of a soul. Amen. Hear me this morning, and all, amen, who would hear this, amen, look closely into the Gospels. Amen. Stop misquoting our Gospel.
Right.
Amen. Which some have looked into passages like Romans 2 and 4. And from it they assert that repentance is equivalent to salvation itself. Amen. When Romans chapter 2 again is properly contextualized, it becomes apparent that those being addressed were the ones formerly under the auspices of the law. And in this view, none could imagine initiate a change of heart, a change of mind, to be what they already were.
Right.
Amen. It's strange that no one argues with the fact that no one ever volunteered and signed up to be a member of the Commonwealth of Israel. No one ever accused David of making a choice to become an Israelite.
All right.
Huh? All the way down the line, amen. Now we get to the church, and now the tables are turned. The most glorious of all God's entities and people is the church, amen. More glorious than the Commonwealth of Israel. And now, amen, God is no longer choosing people and placing them, amen. It is up to the individual to make a choice to be placed.
Hallelujah.
So we say, amen, that from this overwhelming mass of irrefutable evidence, it is clear that the scriptures do not impose repentance upon this elect as a condition of salvation. Mm-hmm. Neither from the Gospel of John, mm-hmm. with its direct words from the lips of Christ, nor in the epistles to the Romans, with its exhausted treatment of this question, nor in the entire array of passages, mm-hmm. which are the total of divine instructions. Listen. Regeneration is incomplete. It's missing, mm-hmm. misleading, and will always remain so if repentance must be accorded.
All right.
Concomitantly,
yeah.
with believing. That is, if you hook the two up, that's the way you get to Christ. You repent and you believe. So the infant dies. Now we got to come up with another doctrine.
Right.
The age of accountability. And all places, run to Romans, which we'll touch on that for a minute today if we have time.
Jesus.
Run to Romans. And said that Paul was saying that until there's the knowledge of sin, there cannot be the imputation of it. Bad exegesis.
Yes, sir.
Terrible exegesis.
Yes.
Hmm?
Glory.
And here's where you got to separate actualization mm-hmm. from manifestation.
Yes, sir.
He was talking about what a man could know. But what you know or don't know has no determination on what God has done for you.
Yes, amen. Thank God. Yes.
Amen.
Salvation is not based upon, thank God, salvation is not based upon what we know or we don't know.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Thank God.
Here they're saying, sin isn't real until you know it. So they say a baby is innocent and a baby is not a sinner until he comes to know sin. God won't count him as a sinner until, amen, he knows about sin. We can go back to the Old Testament and kill that. Those who are born in the flesh is a what?
Born in sin.
Born in sin. You're born a sinner and you're not a, now they're going to change the doctrine.
Jesus.
Now, we'll move on.
Jesus.
No scripturally informed person would attempt to defend such a notion against such odds, and those who have thus undertaken this task doubtless have done so without weighing the evidence or considering the untenable position which they assume.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You have just destroyed salvation. Sure. Amen. If the way it has been taught is the only way to Christ. Now, the only way to Christ is through Jesus. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. But you have nothing to do with the operations of it.
All right.
You know.
Right.
You don't make a choice and you accept Jesus Christ. And because of that, you're saved. No. No, you don't. Amen. The day, whatever the day was that you fully accepted the Lord, that's the day of your revelation.
Right.
That's not the day of your entrance into the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's the day of your knowledge of your entrance into the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he did what?
Chose us
in him when?
Before
the foundation of the world. So, well, he might have chosen in some teaching, you know, but then later on, you know, you got to exercise faith. Amen. You know, and then those in the sovereign grace camp, they're arguing with those in the dispensation camp, or those in the free will camp about, you know, What comes first? Faith of regeneration. First of all, it's not talking about your faith.
Amen.
You see, they read that. Whenever you see that scripture, they're reading faith in Christ.
Right.
No, it's not.
Faithfulness.
You have the genitive.
Yes.
It's the faith of Christ.
Right.
Of the faithfulness of Christ.
Of Christ.
Whose faith is it?
Yes.
You got the genitive.
Yes.
The faith that belongs to Christ.
Yes.
So it's not your faith that
mm-hmm.
saves you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your effort that saves
right.
you.
Right.
That saves you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your efforts, amen, that initiate salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It is not your input,
right.
amen, that gets the thing started.
Yeah.
It is not your gesture,
mm-hmm.
amen, that is the catalyst for the thing, amen, happening or becoming in operation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we were taught, that every time somebody put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he's putting them in the body of Christ. So he's putting people in the body of Christ daily. And this is what we've taught them. But that's not what the scriptures say.
Amen.
What is it about the Irish tenth that we don't understand?
Oh,
past what? Completed action. Amen. So it's not a present ongoing thing every time you believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you got to do something in order to get this thing started.
Right.
That's not, it doesn't go that way. Listen. Here we will explicate the significance of the exhibit of one's repentance and exercise of faith. And we look, we've gone through the litany of the passages of scripture. Amen. When entering into this phase, it is so often expressed, it is first necessary to dispensationally. Yes, we divide the Bible by dispensations and covenants. If you don't divide this Bible up, you're all over into Deuteronomy, and you're trying to mix that with Romans. That doesn't mix.
Amen.
Doesn't mix.
Amen.
They clash many times.
Yeah.
It clashes. Amen. It is necessary to dispensationally qualify all of the portions of the Bible which introduced the word repentance in this relationship to each respective covenants. You've got covenants here, amen. And these are different contracts, amen, and different dealings based upon the knowledge of what, amen, God conveys in that covenant, amen. Now, it is also necessary to mitigate the misconstruing in other passages that employ the words repentance, and we've gone through, won't go through them again for the sake of time. Amen. I'm going to call them out again. Amen. For the sake of the record. Amen. This is being recorded. Acts chapter 17, verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. And even in 2 Peter 3 and 9. Amen. There are passages which refer to a change of mind, amen, specifically Acts chapter 8, verse 22, and Acts chapter 11, verse 18, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 6, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17, even in Revelations chapter 9, verse 20. Yet, again, consideration must be accorded these passages as they are related to their respective constituents, which are often misapplied. Amen. Again, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Yes, Acts 2 and 38. Amen. And Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And Acts chapter 5, verse 31. And that references to John's baptism, which was unto repentance that are conveyed outside synoptic gospels. Amen. In Acts chapter 13, verse 24, amen, who was it preached to? Acts chapter 19, verse 4, which went over a couple of outings ago in dealing with this word, amen. Now, we dealt also with Luke chapter 24, verse 47, amen. Again, it reads, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We dealt with that last week. Amen. Matthew 28:19, that they said, go here, you have the imperfect tense.
Amen.
Some argue say it's the aorist tense, but even if it's the aorist tense, it's having gone.
Huh? Amen.
He didn't tell them. We were telling them to do something. Mm-hmm. He's telling. He was referring back to the 10th chapter, amen, to where he was had sent them,
yeah.
And this is what that is referencing.
Yeah.
So we'll get it confused if we take these things and we try to bring them over to our gospel, mm-hmm. and say that part of the gospel preaching is to tell someone to go and do something that has already been done.
Oh,
now here it should be seen that repentance is not in itself equivalent to believing a faith, though being included in believing is construed here as a synonym of the word believe. Likewise, it is to be recognized. Now, we're really going to get into a fight. Listen closely. Remission of sins is not all that is profit in salvation, though the phrase may serve that purpose in certain instances as it relates to, amen, specific covenants. Above all, actually, none of the passages that we've talked about, none of the passages require human obligations with respect to salvation.
Yes.
Here's what we're saying.
Lord,
God has never, ever, in any dispensation, yes. He has never, ever depended upon the one that he saved for anything in saving them.
Right.
I'm going to say that again.
Say it.
Glory.
Never. Never.
God has never depended upon human obligation of a man to save him. He didn't depend on Adam. He didn't depend on Noah. He didn't depend on Abraham. He didn't depend on David. He didn't depend on Solomon. He didn't Elijah. Everyone that you saw fail. The scriptures, amen, show that every last one of God's servants in some way and at some time failed.
Glory to God. Yes, hallelujah.
Every last one. See what really messes them up? We go to the 7th chapter of Romans. Paul speaks of someone that he says that within me, that is within
my flesh,
I know what?
Yeah.
Huh? And when I would do good, Eve is present all around me. Huh? Does that sound like someone who is meeting some obligations for salvation?
Oh.
Now, this is not to say Paul deals with that further on down and say, where sin does abound, where sin does abound, grace superabound. Amen. Say, what shall we say? Then shall we sin no more that grace? This is not given to you.
No.
You don't need this, amen, to sin.
No.
Yes.
No.
Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
We have to move human obligations out of the way to solidify the thing.
Glory.
Yes. If you don't remove human obligations, is shaky and it'll never be secure. Today you may think you're doing all right, amen, and tomorrow, no, before the day is out, you mess up. So what just happened to your salvation? It took a trip.
Hallelujah.
Repenting and believing. And then they teach if you stop believing, you believe and then you stop believing. You stop believing, you're lost. See, whatever brought you to the dance is going to have to keep you there. Whatever place you in Christ, amen, will have to be perpetual to keep you in Christ.
Right.
You don't want any part of anything being dependent upon you in that respect. Now, going to the home stretch. For certain historical passages in the book of Acts of the Apostles, some purport that repentance coupled with believing leads to remission of sins. Now, this is going to be some hard words here we're going to bring out now. Amen. But we're not playing around. We're going to attack this thing head on. Amen. Regardless of what's been taught out there. Amen. Again, it is of the utmost importance to correctly apportion historical and contextual conveyances in charting the transitional accounts of the kingdom gospel that was preached in the former part of Acts. Amen. As it is transmuted to the ultimate emergence of the gospel of grace. Now, the first seven chapters of Acts, listen to me, is dealing with the kingdom gospel. And then there's a transition period. And a definite break occurs in the 13th chapter of Acts. Paul preached this gospel to the Jews first, the gospel of the grace of God. It didn't sound anything like what Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost in the second and third chapter.
Nothing like it. Nothing.
Oh.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And they rejected.
It is.
And he said, "Lo, I turn to the Gentiles."
Gentiles. Yes, sir.
I submit to you, if you look into the grammar, they were caused to reject it.
Yes, yes.
And it's backed up, amen, in the 11th chapter of Romans, when Paul speaks about the mind, amen, of Israel, of the Jews being blinded. Amen. If God hides it, you'll never see it. You see it because God has revealed it.
Hallelujah.
So now I turn to the Gentiles.
That's right.
And the scripture says, those, amen, who were ordained, foreordained, if you please, amen, they ate it up. The dirty dog Gentiles, amen, that had never had a relationship with God, they ate it up.
Yeah.
Why did they eat it up? Because God caused them to eat it up.
Glory to God.
Ooh.
Amen.
Lord.
Thank God.
You can't know this thing unless God reveals it. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Listen.
Jesus. You do not take this word as a synonym with the word belief or with salvation itself. In some accounts, prior to Paul's specific message of salvation to the Gentiles, in the 13th chapter of Acts, certain Gentiles, listen, had received the same message as Israel. Listen, before the 13th chapter of Acts, what is being preached? Now remember now, verse chapter 7, amen, Stephen is slain, is stoned. Amen. Chapter 8 and 9, we see the conversion of Paul.
Yes.
10, 11, and 12, Paul disappears.
Yes. Yes.
Paul, where are you? Amen. First chapter of Galatians. Amen. For a period of 3 years, God took him, woo, hallelujah, into the desert of Arabia and showed him the revelation of the mystery. Then, as though someone turned on the light switch, amen, someone said, "Where's Paul?" Amen. And so they sent Apollos, who was it they sent? They sent one of the disciples. They sent one of them looking for Paul. And when Paul comes, Paul reemerges, he's not preaching, amen, that kingdom gospel. He is preaching the mystery.
Right.
There's a difference between Jesus Christ according to the revelation of prophecy and Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery. Prophecy speaks of your sons and daughters, amen, should prophesy and all of these things, amen, that Peter spoke of the day of Pentecost, amen, none of that is relevant to you as a member of the body of Christ
Hallelujah.
In the dispensation of grace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Paul comes back talking about what Jesus has already done.
Right, right.
Not what Jesus will do.
Right.
It's the difference between what you're going to do and what's done. And our gospel tells it that way back in eternity, amen, God did it. Huh? He called you. He elected you. He saved you. Amen. He sanctified you. Oh, get this. He glorified you. Everything, amen, wrapped up and completed in one swoop of his eternal decree. Oh, we're blessed this morning. Oh, how we are blessed this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. And in those subsequent chapters, like in 17 and 20, Paul is speaking as he's basically giving a testimony. And here during the transition period, amen, he did do some things for the purpose of the Jews that were there. Amen. Such as healing. Amen. This condition as described in these passages must be distinguished from the no condition characters of the grace gospel.
Right.
The character of the grace gospel is no condition. I say this and then I'm down today. Here's the difference. In the kingdom contract, there are terms and there are some conditions. In the grace contract, there are terms, but there are no conditions. You will never see in our contract, in our gospel, where you've got to do something to get something. I said it again. You'll never go into those epistles that are written by Paul, the gospel of the grace of God, our contract, and see a stipulation there that you must do something to get something. No conditions. And what would solidify this if we understood actualization by the decree in eternity versus manifestation or revelation in time. Amen. The thing that is being revealed is already done. It's not ongoing. Amen. It's past. It's complete. It's settled. It's determined.
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so the Jews with their pre-grace covenant backgrounds is espousing one thing according to that covenant. We are Gentiles. We were heathens. We were ignorant. Amen. We had nothing to change from. Peter was not talking to us on the day of Pentecost. Now, manifestation of this entails their awareness of God's gracious purpose. There can be no reception or revelation without an impartment of the gift of faith, which is the sole reason it is possible to recognize God's purpose and acknowledge Christ as Savior. In other words, as I close today, repentance, which is the change of mind towards God, could not itself constitute the equivalent of given gifted faith, but it is a testimony of that faith. The introduction of who God is significant, as Christ is the sole source and object of faith, which is most vital to mitigate those who would insist that there are human obligations unto salvation. Hence, repentance and the exercise of one's faith as a twofold requirement is omitted from the gospel of grace. And again, as I sit down, the reason we are going through this, and we didn't get to Romans today, we'll pick that up, amen, next time we come before you, amen, in this forum. The essence of it basically is when we look at this salvation, amen, and we can get it solidified and we can feel secure in it.
Yeah.
Then we can take that thing right on down into life.
Right.
We can take it right on down into life.
Thank you.
We can move it right on down into life. What you learn about God, what you learn about salvation, move it right on down into life. Because things are tough out there. Oh, it's tough.
Yes, sir.
And I got news for you. It's going to get tougher.
It is.
It's going to, you say, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Right.
You haven't seen anything yet.
Right.
It's going to get tougher.
Right.
Amen, things are going to happen. Amen. And no, I didn't get this in a dream last night. Amen, this is in the scriptures. You read Daniel and you read Revelations. And even Paul speaking about the last days and the latter times and the things, amen, that are going to happen. Amen. It's not going to get better. They're telling you it's going to get better. It's not going to get better. Amen. But it is better for you because, amen, your future is bright.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens to the stock market, your future is bright.
There.
Regardless of what happens in the job market,
there
you go. Your future is bright.
Yeah.
Amen. Regardless of what happens, amen, to you health-wise, your future is bright. Economical wise, your future is bright. No matter what's going down out there, your future is bright. Amen. Because your real future resides in the fact that you have been placed as a member of the body of Christ. So don't sweat it when things go wrong out there. Don't get uptight when things go wrong out there. And of course, we said things go wrong. What we're saying is they're not going according to our agenda. Amen. Amen. It's all right because it's going according to God's agenda. If it's going according to God's agenda, then it's all right. I'm sick. It's all right. I lost my job. It's all right. Huh? Not to his mother and else said, going to be all right. It's all right. Amen. Huh? So with this and that and the other just happened. It's all right. Why is it all right? Amen. Because God's got it covered. He has an eternal plan that goes, amen, from the beginning of time to the end of the time, with time as a capsule in eternity. And in eternity, he's got you covered. God bless you.